How do I navigate rebuilding trust and showing up authentically after relapse? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin.
Hey, Tyler.
Brandon, how's it going, man?
I've been better.
Yeah. It's kind of a heavy low day. I think both of us have some sinus pressure sickness, and
I feel like I've been hit by a truck. So, you know us though, we don't take a day of work off. So
no, of course not. And I think just on our very last episode, I think you just admitted to like drinking too much cough medicine for the last month.
I don't think it was too much actually for the cough I've had. I think it was just about right.
But you've just been sick the whole time.
I've just been sick. Yeah. So yeah, don't worry. I'm not getting an addiction to Robitussin or anything. I'm not robo blasting. Remember our old like substance abuse clients that would use all kinds of stuff.
Yep, like that.
Yeah.
You're not doing that. I don't have to worry about you.
Oh, yeah, you never
know. You're sober on the show today.
I am showing up sober today. Okay. So not from sugar though. No. So which I don't have any sobriety from that.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Well, we got Justin on the show with us today. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
If you could give us just a little bit of what's going on with you and fill us in and then ask any questions you have.
All right. Well, probably about, it was close to 2 years ago when I had my D-Day. And since then, I had been completely sober. And I'm in a program, and my wife is also in a trauma recovery program. And everything was going good. We were getting to a really good place. And around July, I relapsed. I didn't really think it was a relapse at the time, but I realize it was, and I'm really just trying to figure out how to get back. You know, we took a giant step backwards when this happened, and there were a couple of events that happened around the same time that this happened. My wife had a major surgery where she almost died, and I don't know if that contributed to this, and I hate to even say that, and I was trying to I guess not make an excuse, but justify what had happened. And I know that's not the right way to go. The other thing that
could you explain that? I wasn't trying to make an excuse, but justify what happened. What do you mean?
Well, several times my wife has asked me why I went back to this. And what it was is it was actually on shopping apps on my phone. And it was women in lingerie. And but my wife has asked me several times why I did this. And I could only come up with a couple of reasons. But I don't want to push it off on something else. You know what I mean?
But you're also saying that part of the reason you're sharing with us is that you're trying to look at the factors that might have gone. How does a guy go from you know, beginning recovery work 2 years all the way into sobriety, and then start having this thing happen. And so when you break it down, you're telling us that you don't want it to sound like an excuse, but one of the factors that was there is that your wife had a surgery that went, that had some complications, and that did something to you guys emotionally or something. That's at least a factor if you're looking at it for your own work and your own sake to say, how did things break down?
Right.
Okay. And that's not an excuse. That's just, we're just trying to break it down and understand it.
And the other thing that happened around the same time is I turned 50, and birthdays have never bothered me until this one. And this one really, really bothered me. And I don't really know why, but I turned 50 in July, and that's about the same time that this all happened.
What did you experience? Like, what was so hard about it for you going through that transition into age 50? Can you describe more of the emotional process?
I guess it's just, thinking about the fact that, you know, my life is probably more than half over.
What's the emotion that goes with that, or that was going with that when you were kind of having to confront that?
Kind of fear, and just thinking about the things that I haven't done, that you know, I don't know.
So there's fear, anxiety, there's some regrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also kind of, for a lot of people, it's good that you made it to 50. I think I had this kind of same experience when I was 30. So, you know, like it does, it kind of like throws you into these questions with yourself. Like, have I accomplished everything I want to? And what am I doing with my life? And what really matters? And, you know, it sounds like you had kind of some of that wrestle inside, and it brought up some fear and anxiety about things that you have or haven't done with your life yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, I want to go in the past just a little bit with you. You know, D-Day was 2 years ago. Was your addiction pretty intense?
Yes. What happened when D-Day happened was I had been on dating sites, hookup sites, and I didn't take it any further than that, but I was on a lot of these hookup sites, and I happened to my son and I went to pick up pizza one night, and I left my laptop sitting with all of these tabs open, and my wife jumped on my computer innocently just to check something that she needed to look at, and found all this. And the other thing that has been really difficult for me is my son, who was 18 at the time, was sitting with her when this happened.
So dating sites, hookup sites, I imagine porn and masturbation for years, what was going on? Is that accurate too?
Yes.
Okay. This happened 2 years ago. You've had pretty solid sobriety for 2 years, except for this relapse when you turned 50, and when your wife had surgery. Why are you sober? What's your motivation?
My motivation is I want to be a better person, better husband, better father.
Okay. And you believe being sober will help you be a better person?
Yes.
I know that sounds like a dumb question. But okay, what it sounds like you've been trying really hard to be sober. How have you done that? What's working for you to be as sober as you have been?
I'm in a porn addiction recovery program, and I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do journaling every night. I've been trying to do everything I can to keep it that way.
What, Justin, what was at the roots of your addiction? Like what was driving the addiction for so long?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
It makes sense why the question that he's coming today, Brandon, is it's actually a valid question because he's saying, how do I rebuild trust and not lose all of my quote progress because I've been 2 years and then I had a slip or I had a relapse? And it's because the measuring stick, it seems, is that sobriety is the only way to build that trust or to somehow be a good man.
We're focused on the wrong thing.
When in
That's what I'm
reality,
picking
there's a
up
whole
on.
bunch of other stuff that goes into trust and growth and your manhood, you know? That's
Yeah.
kind of where you're going, right, Brandon?
Yeah, what I'm wondering about is, and Justin, this isn't to say that you haven't been working recovery, because it actually feels like you have
He
some.
has been, yeah.
But I'm wondering if you've been shooting at the wrong target, because what I'm hearing is the most important thing is sobriety and maintaining trust with my wife. And what real recovery is the, do you know what the most important thing is, Justin?
Connection.
Yeah, but it's connection to others, but it's also connection to yourself and connection to God. It's knowing yourself and loving yourself and understanding yourself. So years of addiction, there's been years of secrecy, hiding, shame, guilt, and the acting out probably comes from soothing some kind of pain or trauma that you've had, and so the pathway to healing is to actually stop soothing that pain and that trauma, to go into that trauma, feel it, process it, and come out with a new perspective, a new heart. And if you focus on just your relationship or focus on just sobriety, then you get in this model that a lot of people get stuck in. It's normal, but it's okay. I don't feel like I have a ton of worth. I don't feel like I'm enough, but I can prove it. I can get sober enough. I can be a good enough boy for my wife, and then she'll like me, and then I'll prove it that way, and then I'll feel okay about myself. And so the systems get put in place to do that, which actually perpetuate the problem in some ways versus address the actual problem. Do you understand what I'm saying, Justin?
But I have done I've done a lot of parts work,
Okay.
and I mean that's been really helpful. And I guess sobriety is an important part to me, but also just figuring out where it all came from and why it happened, and
Yeah. I wonder, Justin, like this relapse that we're talking about, it sounds like you fought with yourself for quite a while as to whether or not you'd even classify it as a relapse. You were kind of in that, like, well, I would wonder, why was it so important to you that it not get classified as a relapse? What was that going to mean about Justin if he did or didn't relapse?
Well, one thing is that when my wife and I have went through boundaries and things like that, relapses was one thing that she just really didn't want to have,
Sure, of course.
You know. And I think that was a big reason why I was trying to not classify it as a relapse.
Was so that you could pacify your wife?
Well, so that I could justify it to myself that that's not what happened, which would help me with my wife, yes.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
I'm kind of hearing like there's a gun to his head, and you know, if he admits relapse, then all the consequences come, right?
So this is where I think Brannon's comment is tying into my set of questions here is, for so many people, Justin, you're not alone in this, and it makes sense why you're now asking the question. I want to build trust with my wife so much so that I have to be so perfect that if I'm not quite perfect, I better lie about it to have her trust me than to just be honest with myself about the fact that I look at this situation, Justin, and I hear the little bits and pieces of what you just said about your journey, and I'm like, this relapse that you had is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to have, and you're doing it. I mean, you're here on the show right now. It's an opportunity for you to take those layers of denial that you've lived with and to go, oh, I got to peel those back again. Yeah. If I want to be the kind of man who can continue to grow, I need to have the strength to be able to say, yeah, I let go of some things and I got blindsided and I wasn't quite as vigilant as I'd like to be. And I can be honest with myself about that. Like that's actually more likely to be in the process of building trust long-term than to come back and defend your supposed honor on this little tiny like island of sobriety of, well, but I didn't quite click this button, or I didn't quite go to this point, or I didn't go. It's like, no, hey, look, you're right. I still got to be vigilant. I still got to keep working. I got to understand why I got blindsided this time. I can grow into that. Like that's actually strength that then feeds trust in the relationship way more than, well, another day of sobriety.
Yeah. I think one of the issues around this whole thing is, that when things are going well, I tend to get a little complacent and, you know, just not, I've never stopped working, but I've gotten comfortable at points where I probably shouldn't have gotten comfortable.
That's really normal, I think, too. I mean, well, all of us like to take a rest sometimes when we're tired or when we think so, but then also, that's another thing that Justin, you're doing a good job. This is teasing out the way you're looking at your recovery too, which is, oh, I need to arrive somewhere and then I'll just be my, just do what I was always doing. And it's like, no. Recovery is this ongoing process of growth and change and commitment and principle. And so, yeah, I might get tired and want to rest once in a while, but I'm committed to the process. I don't need to get to a certain level of sobriety and then be like, okay, it's all done. Right. It's like, no, I'm a growing person. That's who you're
right.
Becoming through this process.
Justin, I'm going to ask you a really weird question. So hang in here with me. Okay. Have you ever heard of hafterbaiting?
No.
After, so just think that one through a little bit. Like it's crazy that I even know a term like that. Like here's welcome to my world. So after baiting, Tyler, would you like to explain?
Yeah, this is the term that's used for the guys who come into group and they're like, hey guys, I had something happen this week and I don't think I need to tell my wife. And what I did is I got on and I saw some images I probably didn't really want to see. And then I started to masturbate and I got about halfway done, but then I didn't ejaculate. So I don't think I acted out. I don't think I need to like be honest about that. I
yep.
Hafterbaited.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's a couple lines that seem to be like lines that people focus on. An orgasm is one of them, right? So, okay, I can spend all night long half-debating and looking at lingerie where I don't see a nipple. If I don't see a nipple, like, that's a big deal. And an orgasm, that's a big deal. So, and so what happens is, like, somebody can act out all night long, but just tote the line. Just and the dopamine release actually starts to come by being able to toy with that line. Like, ooh, this is dangerous. I'm right there. Maybe I'll go over it. Maybe I won't. But I'm gonna try really hard not to. And if I don't, then what do you know? I don't have to sleep in the basement for the week, or I can still go on my mission. Or I mean, these massive consequences are there if I see the nipple or masturbate fully. Now, does this sound crazy? Does this sound normal?
No, it doesn't sound crazy, but I can say that during this relapse, there was no masturbation or halfturbation.
Okay, no halfturbation.
No,
but you looked at lingerie. You didn't look at full nudity,
right?
So it was hard to know, like, is this a relapse or not? So what is a relapse to you?
Well, I mean, I guess my definition now has changed a little bit, and I mean, I think it's going back to anything like that that I was doing before.
That seems very vague. So, I mean, when there's such big consequences to relapse in your life, I think it needs to be clear. Like, what is relapse? Because we can't say, Justin, can we say don't have any sexual thoughts other than just with your wife? Is that like sobriety?
Well, I mean, that's kind of hard.
Yeah. Okay. So that's not realistic. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. So then if that's not realistic, then when are you being faithful and when are you not? When are you breaking certain commitments for you with yourself of what relapse is and what it isn't?
Well, I guess the what I would consider relapse would be any type of objectification of women.
Okay. That sounds a bit more clear. And what does that mean? What does objectification mean?
I guess my definition is kind of looking at women for their parts and not for the person.
Okay. So if you notice a woman today and you see her body and it's she's beautiful and you notice that, is that objectifying her?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Yeah, but it's go ahead.
I think it's more about what you think about, what you feel when you see that.
Oh, so where it goes.
Right.
From there. Okay. When Justin, why am I asking you this? Why am I digging in here with you? Do you know?
No, not really.
Well, it seems like there's a lot at stake. And it seems like, you know, with addiction, there's a lot of manipulation, justifying, and denial. And so how do you know when you're being honest and when you're not, when there's so much at stake? And your sexuality is a part of who you are, so we can't take out your sexuality away and just say, hey, like, that's not there. Good. Now you're just sober. So how do you live a life where you embrace your sexuality and who you are, but stay sober and stay in a place where you can build trust with your wife? And if it's unclear about that, yet it's such a big deal, can you see how that's a problem?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to flush that out a little bit.
Okay.
It seems, Brannon, like with what you were describing, and I hope our listeners can hear this too, as you're talking, that I'm having this go through my mind. If you find yourself in the game of having to split hairs on whether or not you're being sober or not to justify a certain behavior, you've already lost.
Yeah.
Like it's the energy with which you're approaching your life that is going to either help facilitate a wholehearted recovery and trust building or not. So if we're trying to establish trust by splitting the hairs on, well, I did, yeah, the whole, like, it was just lingerie, so it wasn't actually porn. The fact that I had to have that discussion in my brain tells me that I'm already gearing myself the wrong direction. And instead of saying, yeah, like, I still got some work to do here.
Or what's going on inside of me?
Yeah. Like, what's happening for me right now?
Yeah. I half debated all night and looked at lingerie.
The fact
hours.
That I need to protect myself and justify my behaviors takes me away from the actual gift of the work that I could do to go, what's going on right now for me? Why do I even feel like I need to like justify this? Oh, that's a discussion now about who am I? Who do I want to be? What am I doing this for? What do I need to do in terms of the relationship with my partner about, you know, discussion and boundaries and all of that stuff. It opens the door to the process of the work rather than closing the door in order to justify being a good boy.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Justin?
It does.
Tyler, I want to ask you this, and I want Justin to hear this. I've worked couples in the past where was bumping along and she accused him of relapsing. You lusted after that girl at work. That's a relapse. And he's like, no, I didn't. Does she determine if he relapsed or not?
Does she determine for him whether he relapsed or not?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, not necessarily. I mean, at the end of the day, he's got to be the guy to look himself in the mirror and be honest with himself.
Yeah. And that's way more important than what she thinks. So here's the thing. And I don't want this to be heard wrong. Her pain is very important. Her fear and her like freaking out over whether she's safe or not in that relationship is very important.
It's valid.
Right? But she'll feel safer in a relationship with a man who is working on his own integrity, his own alignment with God and his own truths, and can show up honestly. So she comes along and says, you relapsed. And he says, oh, I'm so sorry. I did, I guess, because you think I did. Then he's showing up dishonest to her because he's showing up compliant. And if she comes along and says, you relapsed, and he just says, forget you, I didn't. I'm not going to listen to you. That's showing up weak too, right?
It's weak, yep.
Whereas if she comes along and says, you relapsed, and he says, let me take a look at this. Is there something here or not? And he'll look at that and he'll say, yeah, I think I did indulge in lust for too long. Or I didn't, and I can see that you freaked out here. Like, let's talk.
It makes sense.
Talk about this.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Like, I'm here. I'll listen. Talk to me about how you're feeling. I'm not going to call that a relapse. That doesn't meet the definition that I've set and that we've set in our relationship. And I can still tell that there's a trigger here and it's important. Right.
Can I give another example of that, Brannon?
Yeah.
this is really common. I imagine you probably run into this a lot, but guys will come in a group and they'll say, "Hey, I just had this discussion with my wife. She says that she doesn't have anything that she knows, but her gut tells her that I've relapsed, and she doesn't want me to be back in the house until I can admit that I've relapsed." And then we talk to them in group and they're like, "I honestly haven't relapsed. So I don't know what to do. Do I go home and just tell her, yes, I have, so that we can have peace and I can stay in the house and we can keep building our relationship? Or should I go home and say, hey, I haven't relapsed, but then I might be in the basement for the next 3 weeks?" And the middle ground part of it is exactly what you just described, where if a guy could go, "I wonder what could possibly be going off right now for her, right? Maybe there's some other things, because I haven't necessarily relapsed. I haven't gone and looked at porn or gotten on the lingerie or whatever else it is, but oh, I've been pretty checked out with work.
I've been stressed at work and checked out, and
yeah,
just all the ways that I used to act when I would be acting
out.
Man,
I got defensive a couple of days ago, and that's old behavior. And
so I can see why she's triggered.
So now all of a sudden that self-introspection, like she's offering me the gift of self-introspection, and I get to then offer myself the gift of going, oh yeah, those are things that were in play and I'm aware of that now and I'm trying to work on those things. Yep. And then I get to go back and offer the conversation to say, these behaviors haven't happened like you think they have, but I see all of this other stuff and I wonder if this is what's tripping that wire. And if it is, this is what I'm trying to do about it. I'm here.
But if she's the judge and jury of my recovery and my self-worth, and then I'm not going to listen to her triggers at all. It's like, well, she said I relapsed and I didn't. Yep. And then it blows up into this big thing and I can't have an actual discussion with her about what's actually going on.
And she doesn't want to be the judge and jury. She just wants to feel safe. Like, that's what she's looking for.
Sometimes it sure looks like they do, though.
It feels that they want to be the judge, but that's not what's underneath it.
Yeah, you're right.
What's underneath it is I'm scared. I want
with
security.
Someone safe.
I want to know that you're safe and you can hold what's here. Yep.
Justin, as you're hearing this, and Tyler and I talk up through this, what's coming up for you?
Well, one thing that I didn't mention yet that I think was a big trigger to her and what caused a lot of the problems with this is that I got to the place where I was feeling really shameful about what I was doing, because this went on for a few months. And I went to my wife and I told her that, I was on a couple of these apps and I saw a couple things that I didn't think I should see, and I deleted them. And at that point I had deleted the apps, and I was staying away from it, but I didn't tell her what I had been doing for the last couple months.
And you felt shame about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I felt shame through the whole process, but I didn't come clean with her. Mm-hmm. And then we use some software called Truple. And what happened is she looked back through there and saw it in the screenshots and that sort of thing.
So you got caught.
Yes.
It was almost like the half debating version of honesty.
Right? I'll be honest just enough.
It's like, I'll be honest to try to create enough space for myself to move forward, but I didn't quite share everything.
Right.
Yeah. And then that's part of what destroyed the trust then. And that's the reason you're sharing that, is because for her that was like you weren't really actually honest.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
To me, the issue there is not the lingerie. I mean, that is an issue, but the main issue there is the lying. the manipulation,
the shame.
That's the fracture in trust in the relationship. That's the issue that will hurt your relationship and hurt you and your shame. It'll wear at your soul.
It'll your soul.
Yeah. You know, if I think you get too, and when I say you, I mean people in general, they get too focused on what's a relapse and what's not, and what they don't focus enough on is just figuring out how to live an honest life. How do I be an honest person living an honest life with myself first and foremost, with God and with my partner? That's my focus, not this sobriety thing. The sobriety thing, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to have my tools. I'm going to, you know, deal with my emotions in a healthy way, all these things. But my main focus is figuring out either why I'm struggling to be honest, what I need to do to shift into honesty, and how I need to practice that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the changing too of defining success and recovery towards that idea of Brandon of a wholehearted life. You know, I spent the first half of my life hiding a lot of things, Justin. And then things blew up in my face too, a lot of the same way that you just described, with half truths and maybe just leaking out this and that enough to clear my own conscience, but never really being able to be fully straight. And after I started working recovery, I came to realize this principle, and I think you're right on the edge of this right now, is that there are very few greater feelings in this whole world than going to bed on a clear conscience. And regardless of what the outcomes are, if there's honesty and truth, you can go to bed on a clear conscience. That to me is a greater success than whether or not you are sober today. And if that clear conscience is fueled, then sobriety starts to take care of itself, because you know you're going to be honest about everything, which means you're more thoughtful with your choices. It means you're more intentional with where you spend your time and your energy. And that's the part that you're like, I want to build trust with my wife. Make sure your conscience is clear every day. And that will be building trust with your wife in the long run over the course of time.
Okay. I would say that the lying has been the most difficult thing to overcome.
Yep.
Just, you know, I did it for so long and so often that it's like an automatic response. Anytime that there's anything that could cause me pain, you know, the first thing that I would go to is lying.
And the Justin, that what we talked about at the beginning here is when you're shooting at the wrong target, like what's underneath the need to lie? What's underneath the need to manipulate and hide from the truth of what you did or who you are?
Avoiding pain, avoiding shame. Yeah. Well, I guess not shame, because I feel that anyway, but I would say
it's that
avoiding pain and avoiding hard discussions.
Listen to what you just said. It's not shame, because it's there anyways. It's like it's always there in the background. It's underneath all of it is this feeling of, like, speak your shame just a little bit, Justin. It's this feeling of what?
I guess just everything that I've done.
What does that mean about you?
Well, it just, I'm not the person that I want to be.
And because of the things that you've done, you're not the person you want to be, therefore what?
I think that's where the shame comes from.
I'm not the person I want to be, therefore I'm broken. I'm unlovable. I'm unworthy. I'm not okay unless I'm that person that I need to be. Is that it? Right.
That's very accurate.
Yep. And so it's this catch 22 of I need to be that person that I'm supposed to be in order to be lovable. And that sets up that gun to your head. That sets up that fear-based sobriety that we call recovery. Versus, guess what, Justin? You are that person right now that you want to be. It's all. How can I say that?
I don't know.
You are. You just don't know it. Your good, your goodness, your worth, all that is there. You just
it's already hardwired into you. It doesn't matter what you do today, you're still completely lovable and valuable. It doesn't matter if you like spend the next 24 hours doing some service for somebody, or if you go half-turbate all day long, or if you go act out. Your intrinsic value as a human being is not hinged upon any of that.
Justin, you don't have to spend your next 50 years trying to prove it anymore. It's not about working harder and being better. It's about surrendering to love that's already there for you. That's right there. And allowing yourself to feel that and know that. And then once you know that, then you can show up honest. It's not hard to.
Well, that's something that I would love to feel that way, but I'm just not there yet, I guess.
Well, I think you're actually doing things that are getting in the way of actually getting there. But you think that there are things that are helping you get there.
Okay.
That's what Brandon's saying. You're hyper focused on what sobriety is getting in the way of letting Justin just be lovable as he is and be a work in progress and a man who's learning and growing. That's what you're saying, right, Brandon?
Yeah, it's let's say I did something not great today. So let's say I don't know. I ate a really bad lunch for myself or something. And you know, I'm talking to a friend and I'm like, they're like, where'd you go to lunch? And I'm like, oh, I didn't go out to lunch. I'm kind of beating around the bush, whatever. Versus like, hey, I was feeling like crap today.
I let myself down today.
I went and ate my emotions at Wingstop. I ate like 20 wings.
Sounds like our weekend, Brandon.
I know. I just let it all out. And I just like, I'm in pain right now. And I just indulged and numbed out. And that's what happened today. And what I'm saying is that's who I am. I did something that I'm not proud of, but I know that you can still love me because I know I'm lovable, even when I don't do the things that I think that I should. Right. And that's where we can live our life on the surface and in the light, is acknowledging our mess, acknowledging when we screw up, and acknowledging our also our goodness. But what we are always trying to do is manipulate whether or not we're okay or not, the way people see us. And that's where we just spin and spin and spin. So it's just surrender. It's laying it all on the table.
So this goes all the way back to the question you started with today, Justin. It's probably not the concluding place you were thinking we were going to end today, but your question was, how do I continue to rebuild trust after a relapse? And the answer that I think we're coming to is, I need to keep going to work on loving Justin and being open and honest with where Justin's at in his own process.
And stop trying to prove it.
that's going to be the best way you can actually help build trust, and it'll give you the most bang for your buck towards your own personal recovery.
Okay. And I mean, I know that I'm loved by my wife. I know that my family loves me. But it's more of how I feel about myself.
That's right. That's the work. There's certain beliefs that you cling to without even knowing you're clinging to them that keep you stuck in agreeing that you have to hide everything because you have to perform for your love. And those are the beliefs that you get to go work on teasing out and then asking if they need to continue to be true in your life, and then treating yourself and living your life in a different way other than those, what those beliefs have had you do all along. So that, like when you said, my hardest part isn't even the sobriety, it's the honesty. Good. That's your target. Every time you feel like you're hiding, you're now in the habit of having to find a place to speak that. You're going to rewire how you live your life.
If you understand the essence of parts work, Justin, that's the deeper work that we're talking about. So if you're focused on sobriety and whether you're relapsing and whether you're building trust with your wife, and you're just making sure, that's anxiety based, it's fear based. But the parts work, if you understand the essence of it, it takes you into compassion for yourself, knowing yourself and knowing what your true self energy is compared to these protective parts. And when you start to recognize what that true self energy is and you're able to unburden those protectors, you're able to step into that again and again and realize, oh, like, I don't need to hide from this self energy. I can actually step into this more and let the fear go. That's what we're talking about. Like, that's the real healing work that we're talking about.
Okay. A lot of what I accomplished through the parts work was more figuring out where my behaviors came from and. Mm-hmm. And you know, the root of the problems, but I guess I haven't looked as much at how to solve those problems.
Right, and part of the solution to those problems is in parts work is to actually spend some time in the places that you've found with complete curiosity and compassion and love for those parts of yourself. That's part of the practice.
Okay.
So,
Justin, we're running low on time. You have any last questions for us?
Not really. I mean, I think this was helpful.
It's been a pleasure having you on the show and coming and being vulnerable with us and sharing what you're going through. So I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Take some courage to come on the show. Thank you. And I think it was a good conversation. Hopefully you'll be able to listen to this again and maybe glean some of the things once or twice more over, because I think you hit on something that's going to be really important for your own personal recovery.
Yeah.
And towards healing your marriage, actually. I really think that. So.
Thank you.
All right, you guys.
All right, thank you guys. You. Oh, go ahead, Tyler.
Sorry if we had a little delay there. Thank you guys for being here listening. Thanks to, as always, to our guests who come on with courage to share themselves. And for those of you here listening, thank you for supporting us and being a part of our journey. And until we talk to you guys next time, keep on keeping on.
See ya.